look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good morning. Glad to have you log on for Sunday morning, Valentine's Day, February the 14th. Hopefully, you've gone ahead and already bought roses or candy or fish and lures, whatever it is that your sweetheart wanted for Valentine's Day this year. And you're ready to go ahead. Maybe you got up this morning and you made special heart pancakes, or you made French toast cut in the heart, or something different, something special to just kind of start out Valentine's Day. Let's face it, in the middle of February, we're looking for anything to celebrate, aren't we? It's really good to have you logging on with us, worshiping with us this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our families. We thank you for those who love us and those who we love. Most of all, we thank you for you, Lord, for you loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us before we loved you, for that is what drew us to you, for you loved us so much that you gave yourself that we might have eternal life. I just pray that you would be with us as this morning we're going to look in the Song of Solomon. As we look into the scriptures and we look at such a wonderful love story, a love poem that the Song of Solomon is, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us to draw nearer to you through your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. And at this time, Brother John is going to lead us in Love the Lord Your God. Oh, how I love Jesus, and my Jesus, I love thee.
Good morning. Welcome to Sunday morning service on Valentine's Day. And we're going to kick off our song service this morning by singing a lot of songs with love in them. And we're going to start off with Love the Lord Your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Oh,
Thank you very much, Brother John. Appreciate that. Do have just a couple quick announcements. Want to remind you that we are sending out an electronic bulletin. If you will be sure that we have your email address, then what we'll do is we'll be sure that on Sunday morning, we send it out about 8 in the morning, goes right to your email address, and we will have in it some announcements, different things, a little note from me, just like the bulletin we get on Sunday mornings when we meet, except it doesn't have schedules for ushers and all that kind of thing. But let us know. We want to be sure that you get one. Kind of highlight a little bit about what's in that. I would mention to you that there are announcements in there about some different children's Zoom meetings that we're doing. Sorry about that. Every Tuesday evening, 6 to 6:45, Ashley and Ann Messenger doing some Awana Zoom. And then Saturday morning, Bible Club, 10 o'clock for grades 1 through 4. Mrs. Butoff is doing a Zoom Bible Club. And then also Sandra Jo, this coming Tuesday evening, is going to be having a ladies' meeting. Be sure and log on for that. And if you don't have the log-on information, Ashley can get it to you. And I know John Kaufman also for the teens. He's doing before Wednesday night services. He's doing a Zoom meeting with the teenagers. So lots of stuff going on. We want you to be involved. And then also I would just remind you that we are going to be doing a blood drive, community blood drive. That's on the 24th. We're not doing it. I'm not a phlebotomist. But we are letting the Red Cross use our fellowship hall, and you don't want to let me near you with a needle anyway. So just be happy they're going to do it. And then on next Sunday afternoon, I'm going to be meeting with the deacons and the trustees. Be praying for us. Give us wisdom. The Lord give us wisdom as we talk about what's the next steps for our church as we contemplate all things. So pray for myself and for our trustees and our deacons as we meet next Sunday afternoon. All right, I think we're ready to turn it back to Brother John. He's going to lead us in Faith is the Victory, Jesus Saves, and Man of Sorrows.
Welcome back. Let's continue in singing Faith is the Victory.
Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the flowing veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Shall be given before the angels, he shall know his name confessed in hell. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory. Saves, Jesus saves, and the wise. the sky alive with praise, melting darkness in its place. There is light forevermore, and Jesus says He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It is done, we'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost. While the empty tomb's declaring, Jesus saves. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Saves, rising up so vast and strong, lifting up salvation song. The redeemed will sing forever, Jesus saves.
Man of sorrow, Lamb of God, by His own betrayal,
much, Brother John. At this time, Hillary is going to be singing for us, My Eyes Are On You. And we are so grateful for all of those, no matter who they are, who step up and say, can I serve? I want to serve in some capacity. I know that Sandra Jo right now is coordinating some different service teams for the ladies, some things that they can work on at home, whether it be putting together prayer teams to pray for folks, or she's doing all different things. If you're interested, ladies, in being involved and you're not having to come together as a group to do it, reach out to the office. Ashley will be sure you get the information. I know Sandra Jo's sending out a mailing, but we want you to be involved even during this time right here. So Let's turn it right over to Hillary, and she's going to sing My Eyes Are On You.
Well with me.
thank you very much, Hillary. Great job. What a blessing. And I've already mentioned before and continually will mention that we love to have folks volunteer to serve and appreciate all of them who serve in the orchestra or in singing, whatever capacity, cleaning the building, working with boys and girls. And we will be back to all of that. So be sure and put it on your calendar. Mark it down that you want to serve so that we can know and we can plug in when that time comes. This morning, I am going to be preaching out of the book Song of Solomon. So if you go to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, then Song of Solomon in your Old Testament, we're going to go to Song of Solomon chapter 8, and I'm going to read to you verses 6 and 7. So if you'll turn with me there, Song of Solomon chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention to you, Song of Solomon is an interesting book because it's really a love poem. It is between the Shunammite woman and the bride. She is the bride. The Shunammite girl is the bride of Solomon. And so this song is a love song, love poem from that Shunammite girl to Song of Solomon about their love for one another, husband and wife. And then also historically, the old Jewish, before the New Testament, the old Jewish writers, they looked at the Song of Solomon and they drew a parallel. They said there was allegory in here between God the Father and the nation of Israel. New Testament age came, and the New Testament Christians looked at the Song of Solomon and they said, but we really see an allegory between Christ and the church in the Song of Solomon. So it's interesting because all of it is about love. And this morning, the title of our message is That Valentine of Mine. And so we're looking at this. We're saying, okay, this is the Shunammite girl crying out to her husband, Solomon, and Solomon responding. And today's Valentine's Day, so we're going to look at it with the title of the message being That Valentine of Mine. So as we come to Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, I'm going to read to you verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals there are of coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemptible. As you look at these two verses, there are four things I'm going to draw out for you in these two verses. First of all, I'm going to show you the seal of commitment. And true love really draws us to commitment. And then I'm going to show you the cruel enemy of love. And of course, that's jealousy. Then I'm going to show you how unquenchable love is, as it's talked about there in verse 7. And then the last one I'm going to show you is the priceless gift that love is in each of our lives. So let's start off with the seal of commitment. If you look there at Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6, the very first half of that verse, it says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. There's some powerful words in the book of Song of Solomon. And certainly when you look at these words right here, where he's talking about the seal of love, the Shunammite girl talking about the seal of love that she desires for Solomon to have in their relationship, their love one for another. You and I, in our marriages, in our relationships, When we fall in love with that person that God has for us, and I hope that you young people, you're praying, you're saying, Lord, lead me to that person you have for me. And you that are married, I hope when you look at your spouse, you say to yourself, this is the person God has given me, and I am committed to that person. When you look here and you understand that he's talking about a seal, I want you to understand that it's talking about a seal like in ancient days. It is like the seal that shows this is a document from somebody with authority. It's a seal that indicates that this is something of value, something irreversible. It is the emperor's seal. And so as we look at this, we find this love that they have for one another and this talk of commitment that this seal, this love would be sealed upon the heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. In the New Testament, we find out that God, listen, he has sealed the gospel for you and I to understand that God knows his. He knows his people. His foundation, the foundation we have of faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is founded upon that seal of God's knowledge of his children, his love for his children. You and I in our relationships on this Valentine morning, I want to ask you, are you committed? Is your heart sealed with your love for your spouse? You and I as husbands and wives, Sandra Jo and I have been married for decades. And it takes commitment, doesn't it? I mean, listen, I couldn't believe she was willing to marry me, never mind stay married to me for all these decades. But there was commitment, and commitment that has lasted, sealed upon the heart. Now, when you go back to that verse, look with me at Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Look with me at verse 6 again. So she says, set as a seal upon my heart, and also a seal upon my arm. You know, it's interesting when I went back and I started reading about the text and the ancient interpretations of the text, I found it very interesting that one of the commentators talked about the ancient people would go ahead and take a pointed stick or a pointed bone and they would poke their skin and they would rub in it charcoal or they would rub in it to some kind of a color. And of course, what is that? He's making some kind of a tattoo. And this commentator was saying that there were within the cultures of ancient peoples, this act of marking themselves on their arm to show their commitment to maybe a king, to an army, or maybe even to a person. Throughout the Bible, the arm is always a sign of strength. And a sign of authority, a sign of power. In fact, the Bible talks about you and I mentioned it last week, you and I being saved by the right arm of God's salvation, the power of his salvation. So here we find Song of Solomon. She is saying to Solomon, I want you to love me so much that it's sealed with your strength. It's sealed upon your arm. It's sealed with a commitment that will not soon pass. She's going to kind of tie this together in the, as we go into that very first part there and we look at the seal upon the heart, the seal upon the arm. Listen to what she says here. This is pretty strong words. For love is as strong as death. Now, none of us would ever step back and look at our spouse and say, listen, I'm as committed to you as death. That just is not romantic. You roll over in the morning, look at your wife and say, listen, I love you. I am committed to you as death. That just, I don't think that, maybe some women would love that. Sandra Jo would look at me and think I lost my mind. But what is being said here? It's being said that my commitment to you, my seal of love on my heart, my seal of love on my arm, that commitment is as sure as death itself. Now, we know the New Testament teaches us that we are all, it is appointed unto man once to die and after the judgment. Every one of us one day will pass from this life to the next. I was reading an article about the stone carvers over in Barrie here the last couple weeks, and some of these guys are famous, especially coming up out of the 1800s into the early 1900s. The stone carvers over there, famous around the world. But you know what? Those guys are gone. You can go to the cemeteries over there in Barrie, and you can see some of them carved their own statues of themselves before they died. You can look at that, but they're gone. You see, every one of us, we are one day going to die. And here, the Shunammite girl is saying, I want our love to be as committed as death itself. It is inevitable. It is going to be. We cannot change it. We cannot reverse it. It cannot be escaped, avoided, or deterred. And she's saying, that's how I want our love to be. Sealed upon our hearts, sealed upon our arm. And you and I, as Christians, we should strive to make our marriages work. You that are dating and engaged, listen, if this person's not the right person for you, move on. Find the person that God has for you, that you can be that committed to throughout your lives. We live in a sad generation today where people, they have children and they can't commit to each other. They buy houses and open up bank accounts and all kinds of stuff. They're committed financially, they're committed biologically, but they're not committed in the heart. They're not committed enough to say, let's get married. And I know our culture mocks that, but the Bible does not mock that, and God does not mock that. So let's be committed. The next one I want you to see, the second one is, in this Valentine of mine, listen again to verse 6. Solomon chapter 8, Song of Solomon chapter 8. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine right arm, on thine arm. For love is strong as death. Now listen, he's going to click from the positive to the negative. This is so interesting because it's part of the poetry. Because he does the same thing when you come down to verse 7. The Lord inspires these words to be penned down and spoken. And as you look at this, he goes from the positive of this commitment to a little bit of a negative, a warning about love. He says, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals there are of coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 34 and 35. Listen to what it says about jealousy. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. The Bible warns against jealousy. Why? Because jealousy is just so destructive in a relationship. It's so destructive on love and commitment. So he's telling us, first point, be committed. Be committed with a sealed heart and a sealed strength. You know, be as sure in one another as death itself. And then he gives us the other side. He says, but I warn you, don't be foolish. Don't be that jealous person who's always distrusting your spouse, always distrusting where they are and what they're doing and what their intentions are. Don't be that jealous person. He warns us here. Listen again to what he says about jealousy. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. And we understand that. The grave is full of weeping and sorrow. Even when we know the loved one that we love is passing away, still it breaks our heart to see them go. My dad, who came to live with Sandra Jo and I before he passed away, we knew he was passing away. He was on hospice in our house, and every day I'd go home and I'd make him lunch, and every evening when I came home, I would make him he called it a milkshake, but it was one of those sure drinks with a scoop of vanilla ice cream blended up. I'd go and I'd sit down and I'd talk to him beside his bed. I knew he was dying. But that night he died, it broke my heart, and I wept. I knew it was coming. All the family gathered, they were all there. You see, he says jealousy. Jealousy is like the grave. It breaks the heart. It makes us weep. So I warn you, as he warns us, avoid that foolishness of jealousy that breaks hearts and brings about weeping. It reflects weakness and it reflects insecurity. He goes on and he says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire. Wow, what a description of jealousy. As coals of fire. So not just a hot amber, but coals that lash out with fire, that strike out and burn and hurt. There's nothing positive about the weakness of jealousy in a relationship. You have to find in yourself that strength to reach out to God and say, God, set me free from this kind of thing. It's destructive to my Valentine. It's destructive to my love. It's destructive to my commitment, to my relationship, to my marriage. You young people, as you look and search for that person that God has for you, if jealousy is something that is a point of friction and tension in the relationship, man, you want to step back and you want to really look at that. Because it can burn. It can hurt. It can bring grief. Listen to what he goes on to say. Verse 6. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire. Listen to the last part of this about jealousy, which has a most vehement flame. A vehement flame. So he's warning us that jealousy is, it's aggressive, it's hurtful, it burns, but it's not just passive, it's very aggressive, it's vehement. So each of us in our lives, part of maturing is laying aside those things that hurt us, those things that hurt the people we love. And God is warning us. That Valentine of mine, oh, it's such a wonderful love. It's a commitment in my heart and my strength. Don't let jealousy creep in there and tear it apart and break down trust. Don't let jealousy burn and scorch. Grow past that in your relationship. Third one that I want to share with you in that Valentine of mine is the very first part of verse 7. Listen to what he says here, because he's going to go back to the positive. Remember I told you he does positive, negative. We see that in all four of these points. So he's going back to the positive. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If you look at that, that is really words of endearment. He's saying here, you know what? the love I have, the Shunammite girl, the love she has for Solomon, the love Solomon has for the Shunammite girl, this love is a love that cannot be quenched by many waters. Now, the interesting thing about that phrase, many waters, is it's very tied into picture words, picture language. And going through the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, in fact, even when you go to the book of Revelation, you find in the book of Revelation a reference to many waters, the sound of many waters. And what that often is the sound of many people. If you've ever gone to a big waterfall and you've just stood and listened to that waterfall, it's loud and it's rumbling, many waters. If you've ever been in your house when there's a heavy, heavy rain, especially if you have a metal roof, but really even a regular roof, a heavy rain, many waters, it's loud. Now, the less insulation you have, the louder it gets, isn't it? We live in some pretty sealed houses nowadays. It's a little harder to hear. But I grew up in an old farmhouse that was built in the 1700s. And man, when it rained hard, you could hear it rain. And here he's saying, many waters can't quench the love that people are committed. They're married, they're committed. They're committed to one another. He says, many waters can't quench that. Many people can't quench that. If you've ever been in a big crowd and you hear many, many, many people talking, it almost sounds just like that thunderous rain on the roof. It almost sounds like that waterfall that's roaring and tumbling. If you get a lot of people talking and talking, it just turns into a roar. And so is that what the author is saying as God inspires her or him to pen these words? Many waters, many peoples cannot quench my love. And certainly in each of our lives. You know, Sandra Jo and I got married when I was 21 years old and she was 18. Can you imagine? But I wanted to marry her young to give lots of years to train and teach. No, don't tell her I said that. That's not good on Valentine's Day. No, but we got married young, 21 and 18 years old. Still in college. I was in my last year of college. And we ventured off and started our lives together. We've met many people. Many people have come our way and gone our way throughout our lives. But no matter how many people come and go in our lives and come by us, it doesn't deter us from the commitment that we made one to another many, many years ago. And that's what the Shunammite girl is saying. She says, no matter how many people come across my path, no matter how many waters come my way, it is not going to quench the love that she has for Solomon. In fact, she goes a little farther when you look at the second part of verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Flooded waters, they bring fear, despair, panic. Flooded waters, you have to make sure that your life is built on solid rock or that sinking sand will wash away. Flooded waters here. She says those flooded waters cannot drown her love. And you and I in our relationships, in our marriage, you and I, we can't let the fear, the despair, the panic, the difficult, the struggles that come our way, the floods of life, you can't let that quench the love you have for your spouse. Actually, you have to pull together. That's the goal. That's the objective. You pull together through those floods, through those most dangerous and frightening times. You pull together instead of pull away. Sadly, many people, they build separate lives. That's not what a marriage is about. It's not about building separate circles and separate support groups and separate counsel. No, you became one when you said, I do. And when you face those headwaters, when you face those floods, you pull together. You get in the same raft and you ride that wave together. So she is saying here, she's saying, you know what? No matter how hard it rains and no matter how high the water rises, it's not going to deter her love. And it's not going to deter his love for her. Because there's a deep commitment and trust in their relationship that they have built upon. You and I, we need to remember that also that's that it's that way with our relationship with God. Look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 8, verses 35 on down. I just need to get there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Will those things separate us from our love for the Lord Jesus Christ? He goes down in verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God loves us no matter how hard it rains out, no matter how much comes by us in our lives, we can't be separated from God. God loves us no matter how deep the floodwaters get, no matter what transpires. You know, it's interesting when he lays it out here and he says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of our God. You and I, we are safe and secure in his love. We love him because he first loved us. That kind of draws us to the fourth and last point. Because the love that God has for us is unique. And the love the Shunammite girl has for Solomon is unique. And the love Solomon has for the Shunammite girl is unique. The love you have for your wife or for your husband is unique. John Kaufman, when he first came to work for me, was a brand new newlywed. I mean, brand spanking new. The newlywedness hadn't even worn off yet. It was still glowing when he showed up to work right at the very beginning. And so, you know, every conversation every day kind of worked towards the newlywed thing, you know, how, when he met her, how long he dated her, how she helped him with things at school, and how he watched over and protected her from all the other boys that were chasing her at college, you know, all that stuff. Their relationship is unique. John's tall, Hannah's short. Hannah loves to run. John does not. They have a relationship that's unique unto them, don't they? And yours is the same. It's unique. Well, you know what? God has a unique relationship with us too. Listen to what the fourth point is when we talk about the priceless gift that true love is. Listen to what he comes down and says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, last half of verse 7. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemptible. The old English word is contemned, but it's the modern word contemptible, looked upon with disdain. And so he's saying here, the Shunammite girl is saying, and Solomon is saying, money can't buy my love. Money can't buy your love. True love is a gift. You see, the love we have between ourselves and God is a gift. He loves us. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, those are powerful verses. This text tells us true love is a gift. You can't buy it. You and I, in our relationship with God, we can't buy his love. In fact, he tells us that our works are even as filthy rags. It's contemptible. And here we find the Shunammite girl say, "Listen, Solomon, all the money that you have," and he was rich, rich and powerful. "If you could buy my love would be contemptible, disdainful." We certainly see that in the culture and time that we live in today. I can't remember the name of the woman here about 10, 15 years ago. Her 90-something-year-old husband died, and she was in her 30s. And it was so contemptible. All the heirs fought the inheritance and said, "This woman didn't love. She was not in love with this 90-something-year-old guy. She was in love with his money." They held the relationship in contempt. You and I understand that. We understand the concept of that. And so the Shunammite girl is saying, "My love can't be bought." And I want to just toss something out to you this morning, this Valentine's Day. No matter what magnificent gift you gave the person you love today, it can't buy their love. If you don't show that you love, if you don't express it in other ways than money and gifts, if you don't take time to listen and talk, if you don't take time to show affection and care, you can't buy love with just gifts and money. Now, don't get me wrong, a gift now and then is pretty precious. Today, I got a wonderful letter from one of the families in our church. They winter out in Arizona, and they sent a little note just saying, "Thinking of our church, love our church, watch you, Pastor, online." Just that little note was a gift that made my day. Each of us in our lives, when we love one another, you can't buy that love. It's a gift. God's love for us, you can't buy it. You can give and give and give money to the church. It's not going to buy God's love. You can give and give and give your time, your energy, your work, your talents. It's not going to buy God's love. Each of us in our lives, listen, we love God because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. It's a gift. When you look at this last point, we understand the pricelessness of love. John, when he met Hannah on the registration day at college, how do I know that? Remember, he was a brand spanking new newlywed when he came to work for me. I know everything about their relationship. No, I'm just teasing. Not really. But some of those stories stuck with me. John's a lucky guy, isn't he? More than luck, he's blessed. I'm a lucky guy. I'm blessed. Sandra Jo and I actually are getting ready to celebrate our anniversary. Oh boy, and off the cuff, I think it's 43 years this month. 43 years. You thought I wasn't even that old. Well, I am. I'm blessed. When you look here in the book of the Song of Solomon, and you look at chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, you find that Valentine of mine. Yes, it's the Shunammite girl in Solomon, but it could just as well be John and Hannah, or Tim and Sandy, or you and your spouse. A sealed commitment of love. A love that avoids the cruel enemies of jealousy and all the destructive things that bring about distrust. An unquenchable love. That's what the true Valentine of love is, an unquenchable love. You know, Valentine lived in the 3rd century. He was called Saint Valentine for a time, but he was a minister. He got crossways with the Roman Empire, and they killed him because of his faith. And he became very famous. He loved his God so much, he was willing to die for him. And God loved him so much, he did die for him. An unquenchable love. And then, of course, a priceless love. Cannot be bought. You and I love God because he loved us. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, make it happen today. Make it happen today. John is going to sing for us a little Bible song that comes out of the very text that I read out of this morning. Right out of 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8 is what he's going to actually sing. And maybe you'll sing along with him. You can go ahead and get your Bible out and turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is a Bible song that we sang as a congregation for many, many, many years. Haven't sang it in a while. Maybe when we all come back together, we can sing it again. But at this time, Brother John's going to sing it for us.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another.
Let's close in a word of prayer. And then as soon as I close, Miss Hannah Kaufman is going to come on and do a Bible lesson for the boys and girls. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your everlasting love for us. Such a commitment, a commitment that you made for every single one of us by being willing to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord. That is such an unquenchable love. And I pray that you would help us to never violate it. For we want it to be pure and right between us and you. And Lord, we know that it is a gift. We couldn't buy it. We can't earn it. We merely reach out and call upon your mercy and grace. Speak to our hearts. Draw us near. For Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Going to turn it right over to Hannah. And while Mom and Dad are getting that lunch ready or whatever it is that your routine is at the end of online services, gather those boys and girls together because Hannah's ready for a lesson for those children right now.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys. I'm so excited to do the kids' lesson today. We are here in the church sanctuary, and you've been in a lot of places of the church that you're allowed to go. But let me tell you, I'm going to take you to a spot today that you have never been, and I have never been either. You ready to go? Let's go do our lesson.
Okay, we're here. We made it. Can you guess where I am in the church? I am in one of the many attics of the church, but this one is the coolest to me because right up here, that gets you to the church steeple. You know that big white pointy thing on the top of the church where that drone flies over in the beginning video you saw in the church? That's where the church steeple is. So cool. I love attics. They're amazing to me. So let's do our Bible lesson in the church attic, okay? So today is Valentine's Day, and it's usually filled with hearts. Let's get some hearts going on here. There's some hearts coming up. And then it's filled with some kisses. Get some kisses going up. And lots of candy. You probably got some candy this morning, didn't you? But today, we're going to go a little deeper into love. Much more than candy and kisses and hearts, okay? We're going to Mark 12, 18, 28 through 31. And I'm going to read these to you right now. So try to be still and listen. Mark 12, 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" So we see a man in the Bible coming to Jesus and trying to trick him. He says, "Jesus, there's a lot of commandments in the Bible. There's a lot of things you tell us to obey. But which one is the biggest one we should obey?" And Jesus, of course, he answers him very wisely and very smartly. This is what he says is the biggest commandment. And Jesus answered him. You ready for the biggest commandment? "First, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these." So these verses talk about loving God and our neighbor, and those are the biggest commandment is to love God first. So we're going to talk about loving God and loving our neighbor today, okay? So how can we love God? How do we love God? Love is so much more than just saying, "I love you." We say that a lot to our parents, maybe to our pets, maybe to our siblings. We say it to our grandparents, "We love you." Well, love is a word, but how do we show our love? Because love is doing something. Because we show people how we love them, right? So how do we show God that we love him? The first thing we can do is singing. We can show God we love him by singing. So we sing along at church. We can sing in the car. We can sing when we're getting ready for school. We can sing to God. He loves hearing our voices. The Bible talks about God loves hearing us sing praises to him. Another way we can show that we love God is doing what you're doing right now, right here, sitting down and watching online church. That shows God that you love him because you want to learn about him. And then when our church doors open again, when we can do that, coming to church shows God that we love him too. And one of the other ways we can show God how we love him, this is a big one, obeying. Obeying, listening and obeying God, what he tells us to do in his Bible. Now, there was another group of people that God said that we should love. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember what it was? Tell me. It was love your neighbor. Okay, so does this mean your neighbor down the road or your neighbor next door? Well, yeah, it does mean to love your neighbor next door, but it means so much more than just your neighbor next door. So who is your neighbor? People who live next door? Your schoolmates, your friends at school, your teachers are your neighbors. Who else is your neighbor? Well, the people that you're sitting with right now, your family are your neighbors. And also your church family are your neighbors too. Those are all people that you're around all the time, okay? And those are your neighbors. And God says to love them. He asks us to love them. So, how do we love our neighbor? Well, it's not just saying that we love them. We can tell your mom and dad, I love you, mom. I love you, dad. Or your pet, I love you, doggy. We can say we love them, but how do we show our love? Well, let's go to Ephesians 4:32 for one of the ways that we can love. Okay, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And this is a big way we can show our love to people in our family and in our school and our church is being kind. It can be kind of hard to be kind sometimes, right? We can be crabby, the crabby pants. But God wants us to be kind. That's how we show love to people, is choosing to be kind to them and not be mean. Another way we can show kindness is giving gifts to people, like on their birthday or Christmas or even Valentine's Day. Your parents were kind and might have bought you something or got you candy. Those are kind things. That's how we show we love somebody. Another way we can show how we love somebody is gentle words. Ooh, our words can get us in trouble, can't they? Mm-hmm. And having good, gentle words by not annoying your siblings and being mean to them, that's showing love, is when you choose to not be annoying and you say something gentle and nice instead to your brother or sister. Okay, that one's really, really hard. And one of the last ideas I had about showing your love to your neighbors, this is the big one. This one's really hard. Listening and obeying. Okay, listening and obeying is another way we show love to our parents, to our teachers. It's a really hard one to do, isn't it? But God loves it when we can listen and obey. That's another way we can show that we love God and we show that we love our parents, is by listening and obeying. So I hope today on Valentine's Day, you can take some of these ideas and put them into practice, even just today. Start loving your brothers and your sisters and your parents and your grandparents and people you go to school with. Show them love by being kind, saying gentle words, and not annoying your brother and sister. And for God, sing to God, sing praises to him. Keep coming to our Bible studies and our online church. It's so great for you, and it shows God that you love him. I hope that you have a great Valentine's Day. Don't eat too much candy, okay? And thank you for joining me in one of our top secret spots of the church. And I'm not telling you how I got here.